This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and there will be no disqualification. Making their way to the ring from lineupmedia.fm at a combined weight of 849 pounds, the Three Horsemen.
And here we be. I wonder if they can. Can they hear me? Because I can't hear shit. Holy cow, that's loud.
Can you hear yourself now?
Now I can hear stuff because the music's down. The Three Horsemen Show, Big Easy, T.O., the wrestling snob, Corey, getting in the Wayback Machine. We're going back to 1985.
Good year.
A good year for wrestling. Probably the biggest year in wrestling, maybe 86.
Good year for Reagan.
For what? Reagan?
For Reagan? Ronald?
Are you related to T.O.?
A little.
You getting naked?
We do that.
With Reagan?
We do that with Reagan.
Old naked Reagan?
It's enough.
Is it? You know, whenever I look back on the old days of wrestling.
Wrestling?
Back when wolves were wolves.
Oh, man, I remember the wolf days.
The rabid Wolverine.
I think back to the glory days of WWF versus NWA. How far does your guys' knowledge take you into this stratosphere of war between Crockett and McMahon?
I remember the night Hogan turned heel at Bash at the Beach.
Oh, my God. This is definitely part of it.
Oh, I thought you said WWF and NWO. I'm sorry.
Oh, did you?
We're going back some years.
Oh, man. Yeah.
No, The one thing that sticks out to me when I really understood it is around 91-ish, like 90-91, mm-hmm. when I started seeing WCW guys show up on WWF and vice versa. That guys were going back and forth because at that time, like, I watched both shows.
Right.
So, you know, Flair showed up on WCW. Before that, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson showed up. Did they come before or after Flair?
Who?
The Brainbusters.
2 years before.
Before. So I remember them being
with there. Snazzy jackets.
Satin, right?
Red. Yeah.
I remember the Road Warriors coming over and being Legion of Doom. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I really realized that names changed. The gimmick was the same, but I never understood why they couldn't be called the Road Warriors.
Yeah, it was weird.
So, for me, that was really when I first realized that there was a swap of talent and somewhat competition. And then at the age I started thinking, would the Intercontinental Champion beat the U.S. Champion? Like, I started viewing it like that and, like, no, what matches I would like to see, you know, the Steiner brothers versus whoever or
– Who did you always wonder
that
if
kind of stuff.
The World TV Champion, who they would beat in WWF?
You know, I don't know who I would compare that to.
They didn't really have a comparison title.
There wasn't. No. Yeah.
Whenever the European title got around, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
yeah, that was a pretty shitty title too.
Yeah. You guys are going to love the next show. But today, we are going to talk about WWF versus NWA. E, you looked this stuff up.
Some of it.
A little bit. I gave you some links. T.O., I gave them to you too, but I know you didn't look.
No. Nope.
So,
You asked when I remembered, and I told you.
Oh, I know.
Don't ask a question.
That's why you're going to love the next show. That's what I'm saying. That's what we're getting into next.
I know.
So, but so today,
see you guys next week.
We're going to go down. We're going to go down the road of the NWA versus the WWF. So this is Crockett and McMahon going to war. This is after Black Saturday. We covered Black Saturday. This is the good times. So it really.
So this is when there was healthy, the business was healthy and guys were getting paid.
Probably at its most healthy.
Yeah. Okay.
For the, people are still holding on. The AWA was still doing their business dropped pretty dramatically from 85 to 86 now, thanks to the Road Warriors leaving.
Was this before or after they were doing the super cards to where like AWA and NWA would put on shows together and
even... That's pretty much the end of where we're at because they did Super Clash together at Comiskey. Yep. And then that was when Crockett and David Crockett, story goes, he was in the locker room trying to sign away their guys.
Doing what?
And that's pretty much what happened. Because the Road Warriors left the next day.
Why was he trying to sign away?
Drop the belts.
Why was he trying to sign them away?
Because they were going big time to compete with McMahon.
Mm.
Jimmy Garvin ended up in the NWA. Steve Regal ended up in the NWA. The Road Warriors ended up in the NWA. Everybody. This is when
it starts
getting a little underhanded.
Poaching.
You could say that.
Say it.
Said it.
Sorry.
Poaching.
So let's start where we go to the main thing is the NWA was selling blood and violence and WWF was selling superheroes and cartoons. Do you guys remember Rockin' Wrestling?
Of course.
The Hulk Hogan show?
The Hulk Hogan cartoon show, yeah.
God.
With none of their voices were actually wrestlers.
Oh.
It's kind of a bummer.
It was brutal, but you turn on CBS, at least that's what it was here in St. Louis. CBS. Yeah,
it was a Saturday morning cartoon, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's what you'd turn on, and then I sent you that picture of the I Quit match, and that's Starrcade, and that's where NWA really, I mean, they had a home run. Now, the ending of the main event was Flair and Rhodes, where they thought Rhodes won the title.
The dusty finish.
That was basically the start of it. That was where people started going, well, now wait a goddamn minute. You're going to have them win in the arena and then lose it on Saturday's TV, which did keep people watching. But, do you guys, if you go to where your starting point is of the 90s, the WCW really watered down what the NWA had built.
Well, yeah, the no over the top, the no top rope, the
no, I mean, wait a minute. Over the top rope, now that was just disqualification in NWA. That's just the way it always was.
No top rope, though?
That's you're talking Watts 92.
No blood. I mean, yeah. Like they did a bunch of silly shit.
They still had blood. You just didn't have blood on TV.
Yeah,
WWF never had that.
Yeah,
for the most part, I would say. But they were. I mean, the main guys. Like I showed you that picture, Ian. We've got it up on Twitter and we've got it on Facebook. It's all these cartoon characters, and then you look and you've got the Four Horsemen, and you've got Dusty, Nikita. And the Road Warriors. And it was, I mean, my God, I love NWA. At least.
You're like the exception, though, because like I feel like people our age, we're more into the cartoonish WWF.
But we all loved Hulk Hogan, didn't we?
Still do. Don't care.
Yeah.
But I remember those storylines more, the mega powers, the, like...
See, I think it was a target audience difference.
That's what I'm saying.
Like the NWA is more looking at, you know, your early 20s, probably, you know, canned drink,
yes.
Southern crowd.
Southern,
that's fair too.
Vince went after kids that were going to buy the toys and watch the cartoon and watch Saturday Night Main Event. Like, we were his target demo.
For sure.
Almost like we talk about wrestling now and we're not the target demo and we think it's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's kind of similar to that.
But, to your point, they had I had steroids.
Would have your mom let you watch bloody, gory Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair? I mean, like, did she know that that's what wrestling was that you were watching?
Sure.
See, like, I don't know.
Let's get your mom on the phone.
No, I'm just.
I was talking to her earlier.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway.
But like at 6 years old, you were like your mom wouldn't have like changed that. You don't need to be watching that or put it on something else.
Well, one, dad would be watching it with me.
That helps a shit ton.
Number one. Number two, we would have the home video out cutting promos as Lex Luger, King Kong Bundy.
Oh no! Do you still have that?
I wish I've looked 100 times, can't find it.
Damn
it. I can still see my dad.
Do you have like...
With the Apple hat on and the sunglasses with the handkerchief around doing his Dusty Rhodes.
Is there a possibility you have tapes that might have gotten taped over? Because we'll send those off. We'll get that shit recovered.
Are you serious?
Pretty sure you can do that.
What? Now, wait a minute.
Because it's all magnetic bullshit. It's still there.
Really? So like when we talked about Georgia and Ole, they would reuse tapes. All these
right.
TV stations would reuse tapes. So can they go back?
If it's been reused so many times, probably not. And you're not going to get a perfect thing out of it. But for the most part, you should be able to pull something back off unless it's been recorded over too many times.
Really?
Yeah. It's the same thing whenever you erase your hard drive or whatever. Unless you physically rewrite over every sector like multiple times.
So really all that porn on our computer's not really gone?
Not really gone. No, you should destroy your hard drive. Always destroy it.
Destroy it. Throw it away.
No. Shoot it. Don't throw it away. That's just...
What about put it in water?
It's still not good.
Like shooting the engine block?
They can get it? They can get your hard drive if it's wet?
The hard drives are... Imagine your phone, but it's completely sealed. Yeah. Might ruin the circuit board on the outside, but you can go buy your $50 hard drive, take the circuit board off, stick it on there, and what's inside where the data is, like the little platter, still fine.
So burn it.
Shoot it. Shoot. Go right through those platters and explode them with a gun.
What about
beat it with a hammer?
What about a drill?
Drill's fine too.
Okay, all right.
A lot of work with a drill.
Carry on.
Yeah.
So let's look at WWF versus NWA. So WWF had USA and they had NBC on Saturday nights. I mean, you can't get a better, my God, combination. But Vince had bought everybody's TVs up by then. NWA goes hardcore. They're going to go 6:05 Saturday nights. People still talk about wrestling down there. This is still a deal to them. 6:05. They have what? They have the 6:05 Super Podcast now, and Cornette guests on it. It's, I mean, they still talk about wrestling. So those Saturday nights, I can remember sitting and watching squash matches
and promotions for the pay-per-view or whatever they were trying to sell.
And I used to get tapes. I was like, man, I miss that shit. I would want to get tape trader stuff. And I'm like, oh, it looks like it says it's all promos. I don't want to just see everybody's promos. But then I watch the show again, and I'm like, oh, well, no wonder. The matches are fucking awful.
Yeah.
So all you wanted to watch was the promos, but they would run the angles through the promos. And it's kind of what WWF did. I mean, they're basically working with the same formula. But for all that time, I can tell you, the NWA had they both had rosters out the ass. But my God, look at those guys you're lining up.
So how much harder, and this is just from a physical standpoint, guys that would leave NWA and go work WWF, how much easier was it on their bodies?
Say that again.
Like the guys that left NWA that went to WWF, the style, it had to have been an easier workload.
No.
It's not
easier
like
workload ECW. To go to WWF?
No, there's probably more dates, but the style of wrestling, wasn't it? I mean, not as hard, not as stiff, not as...
It's almost the same thing, I would say.
All depends. I would say the way they ran their town, they ran all over the United States. I can only imagine flying from here to there the way they did, which is why so many guys are dead now. I mean, I would think the bigger payday was in WWF, but the NWA was not doing too shabby. I mean, they were hot.
No, I'm talking about just like...
I know, the work rate.
The style. The stiffness.
The NWA still had the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. I always come back to that guy.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's probably not back in those days so much that the Federation dictates the style. It's still more the worker.
Yes, sir. Who wants to get over?
Yeah. I mean, I guess wherever you're at with the Road Warriors, you're taking hard bumps.
Right.
Yeah. You're feeding and getting your ass kicked, and then that's how you sell tickets. I mean, you talk shit, you jump them on TV, and then you go to the house show. Get your ass kicked and you sell.
Yep.
I mean, but, okay, so let's look at each territory. You got Flair, Rhodes, Magnum TA, who's a big point of where we're going to go with this. Magnum, Tully, Arn, and Ole, the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express. Barry Windham eventually came in. He's working big. They eventually get Luger. This is all running like 85 to 87. Oh, Nikita and Ivan, loaded. So you go to the WWF, Hogan, Savage, Steamboat, Andre, Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, Tito Santana, the Hart Foundation, the British Bulldogs, Valentine and Beefcake, the Killer Bees. I mean,
Roberts.
Iron Sheik, Jake Roberts. I mean, yeah, exactly. You can go up and down the line.
DiBiase was there. He was there at that time.
Yeah, and nobody in the NWA brought animals to the ring.
Yeah, and what about that? Coco Beware was the shit. Everyone knew it. He had Frankie, and everyone loved Frankie.
Yeah.
You had Jake the Snake. Had Damien.
You sure it wasn't R-Truth?
Fuck
you. Kofi Kingston.
Nice.
You mean Butch Reed?
It was Butch Reed with the parrot.
Tony Atlas is who you meant.
It could have been Rocky Johnson.
Yeah, who was the first NWA? Who was the first guy to have like a prop or a gimmick that they care? Cornette and the tennis racket.
A gimmick? Gimmick?
Paul Ellering in the newspaper.
Carried the Wall Street, Wall Street Journal. I mean,
who was the guy?
I don't know that they had a gimmick per se.
What about Dogface Gremlin with his headset? I mean, I'm calling that gimmick. If you're coming out still wearing the college dress
headgear.
Well, people wore masks.
Yeah, good point. Never mind.
I mean.
Face paint was, I mean, yeah.
And like you talk about TV, I don't know if you guys have ever seen,
I've seen a TV.
Dusty, them following Dusty to the offices of Crockett Promotions, jumping him, tying him to a truck, and hitting him with a baseball
bat. The horseman.
It's awesome.
I mean, yeah.
Those are some of the best. I mean, like.
Exactly.
Didn't they run someone off the road with a car one time or something?
About 10 years later.
Who was that? Steen?
That's NWO and the Steiners.
No, this was a different one. I'm thinking of something different, but. There was another angle to where they beat the shit out of someone. I mean, like, they used to do angles away from the ring, though, that, like, made you think.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
Stuff outside the arena. Like, who.
Oh, absolutely. They'd go back in the locker room. Yes. People would fight through the crowd, and they'd catch people getting jumped back there. That was wrestling to people. I mean, it still is. That's why people don't watch shit now. But let's get, okay, so NWA is working. Great American Bash Tour is when they're at their hottest. But I looked up, and you know, Flair always says the, 42 straight nights of sellouts. Well, not exactly.
Well, far be it from them to juice up the numbers a little.
Well, always hanging from the rafters, always sold out.
Just like Randy Orton saying, we just did 11 shows and made $5 million or whatever he said. I mean, it's all dick stroking.
Tie in merch.
Yeah.
So they opened up the Great American Bash at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. That's where the Eagles and Phillies played.
Sure. Yeah, I heard of them.
10,900 in a baseball stadium that holds 40,000. RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C., where the Redskins played. 6,300.
Why are they shitting so hard? Shitting the bed so hard?
I don't know. Because I would have gone
up south.
I was 4 years old. I would have begged my father to take me to this.
Yeah.
The Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee. 1,900.
Jesus.
1,900, not 19,000.
Good Lord.
Then they go to their home. They go to Charlotte. 23,000 at Memorial Stadium.
That makes more,
yes.
More sense.
But this is when Flair is running the gauntlet of. Defending his title at every show.
Right.
And they had their sellouts, but they did Cincinnati, they did Riverfront Stadium, 3,900.
Gosh dang, that's to feel like nobody.
I could draw
there.
That many.
They did the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, 10,000.
It's pretty horrible. How many of the Gator Bowl hold? 40?
Probably.
Yeah.
They did. Let's see where else they did. I mean, they did a sellout in Greensboro again, 15,000. They did Fulton County Stadium where the Braves used to play, 12,000.
That's horrible for drawing in their country. I mean, that's dead center.
That's why I wonder. And nobody ever has a book. I mean, Cornette keeps fantastic books of everything he did. But I wonder. How they, I mean, and they didn't paper things the way the WWF did, because WWF would give away tickets. And they would only go, they would have their TV tapings, and they would make sure, hey, look, this is full. This is always full. They didn't have a studio show. Only the NWA had a studio show. But they sold tickets to go to arenas. They still did well. And they would go up to the WWF's territory. They'd go, they would run a show in Baltimore. They would run a show in Philly. Not the same arena. They wouldn't run the Spectrum in Philly. They'd run the smaller venue.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't go to the big one in Baltimore, and I can't
think. They'd probably use the ECW arena if they were in Philly.
No. Bigger than that.
Oh.
Bigger than that. They're still drawing 10,000 people.
Not the Spectrum, though.
Yeah. And I know the name of it. Same with Baltimore. They'd run the smaller arena, but they're still drawing 10,000. It's not 18,000, but the WWF, they rewrite history. They act like everything was sold out all the time. Right. Not true.
There was never a hard time.
No, but when they went and did the big event in Toronto, they did like 60, 70,000. I mean, the WWF always did it right.
60, 70,000? That's huge.
In 86.
That's huge. That's WrestleMania fucking, as it could ever be.
Precursor.
Right.
Precursor. But I think about this and I wonder if, because, oh, they would also have a concert with every outdoor show and I guess the indoor shows also. They'd have, God, these guys are going to, I don't know who these people are. Waylon Jennings?
You don't know who fucking Waylon Jennings is?
I guess I know who he is.
Get out of here.
But Joe Eli.
He did the Dukes of Hazzard theme, just the good old boys.
Did he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
That's news to me. Joe Eli and Delbert McClinton? You know who they are?
No clue.
I don't know.
The old Eli McClinton man. Yep.
Eli McClinton. George Jones?
Oh, yeah, George Jones. That's classic country there. He did I think he did The Races On. No. Maybe Hard to Handle.
The Heat is On.
Maybe.
Hey, little thing, let me light your candle, because mama, I'm sure. That was originally him.
Really? He did a show at Riverfront where they drew 3,900. David Allan Coe did a show at the Roanoke Civic
David
Center.
David Allan Coe, too.
Yeah. So this was all Dusty's, baby. So they went through and did this, and they had gotten a real big influx of talent in the way Flair talks. I mean, he went and snatched the Midnight Express. He went and got the Rock and Roll Express. The Road Warriors came in. They ran. I sent you those pictures of the Crockett Cup.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big intro for the Road Warriors. Here they come. We'll have them win this tournament. They're over like Rover anyway. I mean, because they're the Road Warriors. But there you see the difference in what they're selling you. I'm trying to think of what happened. WrestleMania. They're bringing in Tommy Lasorda at WrestleMania. They're bringing in Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons.
Who wouldn't? Ricky was the shit.
That he was. And they've got guys like Jesse Ventura starts making movies.
You know what happened? 15 years later, WCW tries the same thing and brings in David Arquette, and people shit on him.
Yeah, but they
didn't give Ricky the title.
These guys didn't get in the ring.
Yeah, they didn't give Ricky a title, though.
But there you go. Mr. T's boxing Roddy Piper,
fair
and
enough.
He's wrestling at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So it's an odd thing that they were, I mean, they were neck and neck for a long, at least in my eyes. Like, people always say, oh, we wanted to get to New York. Did you really? I mean, did you not want to work in down south? I don't know. But
I don't think they were thinking too much about it back then. I think they were like, whoever's giving me the most money.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah.
At that time, I don't think too many of those guys were like, this is my career. You know, I'm really worried about, you know, 15 years what my career looks like. I've been with the best. They just want to make money at that time. They want to drink their Miller Lite. They want to screw 10 groupies per town.
It was cash grab. I mean, most of them say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, think about those car rides. Could you imagine?
How more are those guys not? I mean, I know we've kind of talked about it. How more are those guys not getting wrecks?
Yeah, I could only well, hey, funny you say that. One guy did.
Who?
Magnum TA.
Never heard of him.
Magnum was probably going to be their Hogan.
I have heard of Magnum TA. I just wanted to say that.
Magnum was probably going to be their Hogan, and he gets in this car crash in October of 86, I want to say, early October. And it changed it. I don't want to say that's their...
Can you fill me in a little bit more on that car crash? Was he driving a race car or something like that?
I want to say he had a Lambo.
Something really fucking
Ferrari?
Fast that he shouldn't have been driving or something like that. Hold on. We need more info on this.
Yeah. Look that up. He was getting as big. He had had a big feud with Tully. He had had a big feud with Nikita. And he was going to be a super duper star.
It was a Porsche.
Porsche.
Lost it in the rain. Had a telephone pole wrapped it.
Yeah.
Custom vertebrae.
He was Dusty's baby. That's who he saw being a guy that could star in movies. He did look a little like Magnum P.I. What's his name?
What's that stash? Tom Selleck. Yeah.
You guys know who I'm talking about?
You GD, right?
But that's a guy. It changed everything, and there's a bit of confusion as to whether he was going to win the belt at Starrcade 86 or not. Some say he was going to wrestle Jimmy Garvin, but that's a big deal because they immediately turned Nikita, who everyone hated, they turn him into a good guy two nights later, I think. He gets in the wreck. They flip Nikita to face. So Nikita wrestles Flair, doesn't win at Starrcade. But he was their big Russian heel. And that took away a huge heel from that side.
I think Nikita was pissed about that.
I don't know, because he ended up main eventing their biggest show of the year.
Still, I mean, think about the heat he could and did draw.
Oh, absolutely.
How'd they get him over to a face so quick? Was it Sting getting attacked and he came out and helped him?
You're ahead a couple years. This is 86. They had just come off their big best of seven series, Magnum and Nikita. Has the wreck. Dusty says, we'll flip him. They go out that night for a cage match with Ole and J.J. Dillon. They don't know who Dusty's partner is going to be, and Nikita walks out. It's on YouTube. And the place is like, what the fuck is going on? And kind of like, what is this? And Nikita kind of hesitates getting into the ring. These guys used to be so good at this shit. Mm-hmm. Isn't it incredible?
Ring psychology used to be a thing.
He steps up on the ring and he's kind of looking around like, what am I doing out here with him? And then he gets in and just beats the shit out of Dillon and Ole. And they push Ole out of the ring, get him through the door out of the cage, and then they just pound the shit out of JJ. It's great. Perfect turn.
So the turn worked.
Oh. Yeah. The
place went nuts.
Because then those two become the superpowers.
Yeah.
And it's the superpowers and the Road Warriors always on the same side. There's four guys to take on the four horsemen. And you know, we're focusing a lot on the NWA. And I'm trying to think through the WWF time because Hogan's feuding with Orndorff during this time. And that was a blood feud. It was good. But they also had Saturday Night's Main Event going against this. So that you've got Steamboat getting DDT'd by Jake Roberts and knocking him out. And you've got, my God, Halloween parties and Terry Funk and Nikolai Volkoff. They basically feed all your big guys to Hogan. Meanwhile, you always had an up-and-comer to take on Flair. It worked, but
I was listening to Flair today talk about Magnum TA on Stone Cold's podcast. Have you heard that interview?
Mm-hmm.
Just talking. Even Flair was like heavy marked out on Magnum TA. Like he was ready to make this guy, you know, give him the belt.
He was going to be listening the next to Flair. Yeah, pretty much Flair was. Flair said.
Flair was ready to marking out on his looks.
Totally. 45-second matches on TV. He'd belly to back somebody into the match. He was just, and the girls loved him. What's the saying?
And they wanted Luger to be that once Magnum came, and that was the disappointment in Luger, is that right? Luger couldn't hold a candle.
Luger was a saint.
Couldn't work like Magnum. And it hurt him, but it didn't. I guess it didn't kill them the way that so many things. I don't know.
I don't know.
But also you run into Dusty Rhodes booking himself in everything. And like we talked about the Dusty finish, that's another thing that people started to say, yeah, a little too much. But also, this is when, we'll work around this time of 87, that they start going west. And Flair always says, if we would have stayed below Baltimore, Philly, and stayed
east of Texas, right?
East of St. Louis.
Oh, east of St. Louis.
Pretty close to the same.
Or east of St. Louis, south of Chicago. Yeah. Stay in that. Stay in our hotbed because we own this. And you can make a living this way. And they didn't. They started going to, they buy these offices because they want to get in the movie business.
Yeah.
That's all wasn't, Dusty's
wasn't
idea.
Wasn't one of those offices in Texas. Is that what it was or something?
Well, yeah, that's where they bought offices.
Yeah, that's what I said. They talked about buying one of the offices.
They were going to run out of there.
Huge mistake, yeah.
Huge mistake.
Yeah.
Because they didn't need it. And they started running shows at the Forum in L.A. in 87. Not what they needed to do. And they're doing great shit. They had the War Games. They had all this stuff. But WWF had WrestleMania 3. And they also had the best match anybody had seen in 10 years.
The Macho Man fucking Savage or Steamboat.
A guy that they snagged from NWA. A guy, and then Savage came from Memphis.
I still have the original WrestleMania 3, like the plastic, you know, one you'd buy from, used at the video store.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I still got that.
It's probably worth some money.
Those were what were great about the ones you buy from the video store. They weren't like the ones you'd buy at, like, Walmart.
The paper ones?
Well,
cardboard.
It's not that. The tape itself was different, too. It was a high-run tape. The ones that the video stores would buy, they'd buy the ones that were built really hardcore for shit tons of plays because they rent it out and get lots of use on it. What you buy at, like, Walmart, less quality. It's only meant to be played, you know, 100 times or so, 150 times.
Right.
So, I don't know. It was always cool to buy from the movie store. You knew you were getting something that would last.
Now, did you only, like, when you went and got tapes from the video store, did you only get WWF?
No, not at all. Whatever they had looked cool, you know what I mean?
What year is we talking?
88 through 90.
Okay. So did you ever, like, see Starcade, like Skywalkers with Road Warriors and...
Not when it was live, no. We didn't have that kind
of... Not live. I'm talking about, did you ever get those tapes?
Dude, I couldn't tell you. Probably.
Really?
Probably. Because it was either I was getting wrestling tapes or some stupid kid's cartoon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Mad Balls or My Pet Monster or something stupid.
Yeah, it was He-Man for me.
Yeah, I love me some He-Man, too.
Fuck yeah.
By the power of Grayskull.
Oh, yeah, Castle.
Damn right.
But also, not everybody, I don't think, if you didn't get the NWA, we were, like I've said on the previous old school shows when we were running through this, we were lucky that we got World Class. We got, and World Class is dying a slow death by this point. We got World Class on television. We got the AWA on TV. We got everybody. We were just in a sweet spot. Maybe that adds to my wrestling fandom. But
can't hate.
WrestleMania 3 is right around. So in this time, Bill Watts' UWF gets purchased by the NWA. And he buys Kansas City. And the same thing he's going to do with Florida, which he had snagged Florida. He was going to work those as towns where he would send his talent to do their TV and then run from there, like run bigger shows in that area. But he buys up Mid-South UWF, and they get a big group of guys. But like McMahon always had trouble putting guys from the NWA over when they came over to him.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of had this – they got Sting. They got Steve Williams. Ted DiBiase went to the WWF. Hacksaw Duggan had already gone to the WWF. The Freebirds came in for a hot minute. Eddie Gilbert was one of the guys that left there.
It's never a big fan, but anyway.
Yeah. I think Ultimate Warrior had already gone to Texas and became the Dingo Warrior.
Right about the time you were a little bit. Was that right after he teamed with Sting?
Yeah. They had been the Blade Runners in Mid-South UWF. But also the WWF starts getting, they got Demolition. Here come their Road Warriors because McMahon didn't get the Road Warriors in 86 like he wanted. But also Crockett allowed guys to work their Japan deals. And that kept them healthy and happy.
And gives them, you know, plenty of extra money. Like you said, keeps them happy.
Money. Like Steve Williams, Terry Gordy, the Road Warriors. He didn't really ever bring Hansen in. But those guys were able to do double dip. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So and everybody says the purchase. Jim Ross is the one that negotiated the purchase, but they say that hurt Crockett too. Another money. Like, he just kind of pissed it away. You could have stayed healthy without that bullshit.
He got $1 million, didn't he? $1 million flat for that?
Who?
Crockett.
Got $1 million for what?
For the whole promotion when he sold out.
Oh, no.
You don't think he got that much?
I think he did better than that.
Really? I thought he already only got $1 million.
Maybe.
Anyway.
if he got a flat million, I would have think he would have still gotten the advertising money also. Because that's in the end in 88, that's really what happened. But going through to buying, you know, flying private jets and all that kind of shit really hurt the NWA. And they get to Starrcade. And I don't, like, did you guys ever see Ronnie Garvin? You remember Rugged Ronnie Garvin?
Sure, he had the flat top hair. My little brother had the same haircut because of Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah, he won the belt in 87.
Yeah.
Like Hulk Hogan versus Ronnie Garvin.
That's some fucking old school versus new school shit there. Changing the guard for sure.
Yeah. Your U.S. Your U.S. and Intercontinental titles, it's going from the Honky or Steamboat to the Honky Tonk Man, Randy Savage. Your U.S. title holders are Magnum, Nikita, Luger. That's when Luger got big, and they thought Luger was going to be the next Hogan. And that never worked out, did it? Why didn't that?
Because he sucked?
Couldn't talk.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. He was a one-trick pony in the ring, and his promos were horrible, but he had a nice, no gay here. He had a nice body. He was the total package for a reason.
But he never got better. He never.
You know what he was missing? And we would have totally took Magnum TA's place. He should have grown the fucking mustache.
Why didn't they ever give him help with
the
mouthpiece?
He had a beard early.
Meh.
His mouthpiece was Dylan with the Horseman.
But after that, I mean, they could have done something to help him.
I don't know if it was as bad. Looking back, it's bad. But back then, no scripts or anything.
And he clearly wasn't sharp enough to think on his feet. I mean, like,
holy sheep shit. Was Ronnie Garvin's finishing move the sharpshooter?
No.
I got a picture of him pulling the sharpshooter off on somebody.
Ronnie Garvin?
The Ronnie Garvin. Unless that's not the sharpshooter I'm seeing there.
Oh, boy.
Eh?
Boy, that must have been. His finishing moves were the Garvin stomp.
Nice.
And just a knockout punch.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. Good old knockout punch.
Hands of stone.
The old Garvin stomp.
Who does that now? Somebody does it. Orton?
Yeah, Randy Orton.
I think Orton had been doing it. He was doing the Garvin stomp for a little bit. I kind of like that. Going back to Luger, can you guys name guys who got something or got the push just because of how they looked?
Rollins was doing the stomp too.
Was he really?
Yeah. Oh, the curb stomp. Remember when they banned it and all that? Like,
I'm not talking about that stomp. I'm talking about where you stomp each body part. You go up and down their body. He would kick their foot, then he'd kick the knee, then he'd kick the
You
want
to see it? I'm watching it right now.
No, I know.
Watch. Just watch this. This is beautiful.
That's Scotty Steiner.
Yeah.
The Garvin stomp.
That's stomping a mud hole in your air, pal.
That's awesome.
Oh, Scotty Steiner.
Yeah. He was called the young muscle god here or something.
He's back on.
Scotty Rex Steiner.
He's back on Impact Wrestling.
I heard.
And can hardly move, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's fucking damn near disabled. Can you guys think of another guy who got the push just because of how they looked?
Well, Scotty Steiner.
There you go.
Big Papa Dump.
I don't know. I've told you 1,000 times he was Kurt Angle before Kurt Angle.
You think? Well, I guess so. He had the kind of the same background and everything.
He could work.
Go look at some shit from like 90, 91.
But he went way crazier.
Look at some of the moves he could do, though. Like, his work in the ring. I was watching some of the moves he did, like his move set.
Freak.
Yeah, he was pretty damn athletic.
But I don't know. I can't think of anybody else who, well, I guess Hogan. But he had charisma. I mean, Luger had the fucking point with the fucking fingers. Could never get over that. Jump ahead, Starrcade 87. Now, E, you've read about this. What did Vince do?
Okay, so that was whenever he created Survivor Series.
Right.
So there was basically only so much time to put out, you know, for pay-per-views to be out. Like, you know, you got so many weekends in a month.
Booked it the same night,
right? He books it in November and forces the pay-per-view company, if you want WrestleMania, carry my pay-per-view. He doesn't necessarily say, don't carry Starrcade. But he says, you better carry my pay-per-view on that night.
Or you won't get my next
one. Or you won't get my WrestleMania, which is, you know, they can't miss out on WrestleMania money. Forcing Starrcade to move to an end-of-year show now.
And that's and where the clash
for the rest of
the
time.
Next year, yeah. The other huge mistake from the way they run it. They took it out of Greensboro, which they always ran down south for Starrcade. It had been Greensboro, Greensboro and the Omni, and then they ran it in Chicago. And they had the Road Warriors, and they didn't have the Road Warriors go over, which is always a – I never understood that because they would have won the belts that night. But they do that, and they have Vince doing all that bullshit, the same thing. But this is really when the war gets kind of heated, because going into that next one, they've got that Royal Rumble, and Vince runs the – or Vince – Crockett runs that Bunkhouse Stampede, which is lesser known. But leading to the one you'll know more about is running that first Clash of Champions versus WrestleMania 4. And that's when Sting's born. I mean, my God. It went 45 minutes and fucking, I wouldn't say Flair carried him at all.
We didn't have to. Sting actually did have talent. A lot of people, I don't know why, people shit on Sting. They want to be revisionist somehow and make it like Sting wasn't the hottest fucking thing for almost 10 years.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is it's because he ran concurrent with the Warrior, and so many people want to make that comparison to Sting and to the Ultimate Warrior.
And I don't get that.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. Skill-wise, I mean, on
they both painted their face.
And that's about it. They both had bodies.
You ever seen a Blade Runners match?
Never seen a match. Seen promo photos.
Sting was super stiff.
Was he?
In the beginning, not stiff with.
Were they
punches.
Both roided out? The promo pictures I've seen, it's just muscles on top of muscles. So.
Oh man, but I guess Sting either learned the charisma because he didn't know anything about wrestling, but he came into his own. And they're now going head to head. They did a hell of a rating on TBS that night. I mean, against WrestleMania, that's pretty damn good. So, it's really – those guys are – now it's a full-fledged war, and they're going at it. And basically the cable companies go to them and say, look, motherfuckers, let's all make money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not fuck each other. But really, it's Vince fucking Crockett.
Pretty much. Well, I'd say it's more Vince. I'm sure Crockett's probably like, fuck you, but Vince is like, completely fuck you.
And I never...
A retaliatory fuck you from Crockett more than anything.
I'll never understand what... You know who Vince is?
Yeah, he's this guy who runs WWE.
He's fucking Donald Trump.
Very similar. They both have that same attitude.
Nobody can be as good. Nobody. I'm sitting watching...
Vince hates black people. Trump hates black... Oh, wait a minute. I'm going too far.
Hey, you're talking about the South here. They weren't exactly... I don't know of many... African-American wrestlers that were getting over in Crockett's time. But I look back at these David Letterman things and I'll hear Trump say, yeah, we've had like three other guys. They try to do offshoots of The Apprentice and they all failed miserably. Only one's good. And it's like, why do you want to put other people out of business? Because that's essentially what happens here. Crockett over... I mean, he writes checks that he can't cash at the time. And that's what knocks them out of competition, trying to compete with Vince.
Horrible idea.
Because we could have had all this wrestling all these years, through the kid years.
We did still, though.
Not as good.
Yeah, it could have been better.
And guys,
these guys were desperate. They wanted to win.
Yeah. Win what?
That's the question.
What are you winning?
Right. Are you getting more territory? Are you going to be able to run shows in wherever you think you're going to take them out of?
Well, yeah. Aren't you doing well enough running across the goddamn country that, I mean, you have to have the South?
It was the Atlanta Stanford Fuck You Fest.
But it's so callous and...
We talked about it before on another one of the episodes whenever, I believe it was Vince, had gone down to talk with Crockett about buying, and Crockett... talked about a negotiation and everything seemed to be fine. They get to the airport.
That's Vern.
Okay, that was Vern. Okay. Still, it's the same difference. It's the same attitude that Vince has to all of them. I'm the show. You are my feeder and I will eat you.
I've never gotten it.
I mean, I could kind of see it. It's a competitive attitude, but a little hyper-competitive.
I think that his whole thing was it's Turner's Station and that's where they're getting it out of. and Turner reneges on the deal in 85. Mm-hmm. And Crockett comes in and said, look, I'm going to run Mid-Atlantic and Georgia. We'll make it just – they go by the NWA no matter what. It's still called JCP Promotions, but – or Jim Crockett Promotions. But
– too many P's there.
Too many P's, JCP Promotions. Yeah,
JCPP.
Sorry about that. And I know we're I'm running through big things that happen.
That's okay. We only got so much time.
Do we really?
We probably got 15, 20 minutes left, max. Oh,
that's good. Well, we ran long that one.
We can run as long as we want. Fuck the world.
True. I mean, the next one's going to be – that's when we get into Jim Herd territory, and we won't go there today. The Great American Bash 88, another one. They ran a lot of shows same way they did in 86 and 87, and we're passing by war games and things like that that went so well, and they were – NWA still doing great business. They get to 88, and they've got a big show, and it doesn't go as well as they planned. They didn't get the buy rate they needed. This is the summer of 88.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when Tully and Arn go in to renegotiate. Tully and Arn leave. Garvin turns on Rhodes, and Garvin leaves. And guys start jumping, and it really hurts business. And then apparently the accountant comes in and says, we're so many million dollars in the hole.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. I get that at least twice a week, personally.
Nervous breakdown. Guy had
literal?
A nervous breakdown.
Literal?
Literal nervous breakdown.
Bummer.
And that's...
Is that where you were? Nervous breakdown to you?
Yeah.
Pooping? Just making sure.
Yeah.
But Crockett, according to Crockett, says if they had gotten the advertising money ahead of time, they would have been fine. Because of all their TVs and, I mean, you guys know. They had a main show, then they had shows that had lesser guys on it, B shows. And they'd run them on a loop everywhere. But they had advertising money they were getting from all those shows. And now
local shows, right?
Locals.
Like local, yeah.
Yeah, like St. Louis Market, yep. You know what I mean. They're sending them to all the towns.
So the Piggly Wiggly would fucking, or the Kroger, or the whatever, I mean, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, the time. Yeah. Good comparison. I hadn't thought about that. But they don't get it, and Ted Turner steps in to save it, and that's the war. What could have been done differently?
A lot. Don't be so fucking
competitive. This is the million-dollar question. What could he have done differently?
To win? I don't know that he could have, honestly.
And why expand? Why go west?
Why take Starcade to Chicago?
That day,
I mean,
that day and age, and Hollywood being as Hollywood as it was, Ric Flair is your superstar in that region. Why try to take him and make him something out west?
Got
to
give it a go. Why not? Why? Because what if it worked? Right? I mean, what if it worked?
But what national TV did they have outside? I mean, with Vince having everything and Hogan being in Rocky and doing some of the more.
He had done No Holds Barred by this time.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, they were going more Hollywood. They were going more that way. So, why not stay out of Vince's territory, stay out of his area, stay out of the cities that they're in, and stay in your spot, carve out your niche, and.
You got to figure a lot of it's ego, right?
Be very damn successful where you're at. Because WWF wouldn't have came into those towns and never outdrawn them in Charlotte.
They tried.
It never happened, and it never would have happened. It wouldn't have happened in Georgia. It wouldn't have happened in Carolinas. It wouldn't have happened in so many of the cities.
They went to New York and ran shows.
And
didn't do great.
I wouldn't have done that.
No.
I would have stayed in the Southeast and held that shit down.
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20, though. You can look back and say you did all kind of things.
Do you blame Crockett for trying to compete?
No,
because guys like that are successful and get to be where they're at because of the vision.
Yeah, not
and
by
their
sitting
vision,
on your hands.
Not by sitting and trying. Can't try. You can't blame a guy for trying.
Is Dusty to blame for talking him into offices in Texas? For the – I mean, they blame the Jets.
I don't think so.
Him.
I think they – they were thinking, if this works out.
If that's how if you need the Jets to run the business to get the boys from town to town, that's going to save you money and it makes sense budget-wise, that's how you do it. I mean, you know, I just think overall the plan was probably shit. looking back on it. I mean, like you're able to say it didn't work, but just if it would have worked and they expanded, Dusty might have looked like a genius for putting them in offices in Texas and then Plains. And I'm sure a lot of that had to do with the success the Von Erichs had. Let's make Texas our headquarters. They sold out Texas Stadium. There's going to be a void there.
Even with the oil crunch.
But.
That's what caused UWF to sell
out.
How
big was WWF there? Not very.
Not great.
You know, so they're looking at strategic
places. They did okay in Houston. That's Paul Bosch territory.
But you look at strategic places, and you're almost playing like the map game of, all right, where can we get control at? All right, well, let's try to take Texas. That's a big place. There's a lot of people there. There's a lot of money there. Let's try to get Texas. So wrestling, yeah. I mean, maybe that was the play.
All right. Should Jim Crockett and the rest of the Brain Trust, should they have gone more cartoonish? Should they have had wrestling figures?
If they can't beat them, join them type of thing?
Because I tell you what,
yes.
If you would have made big rubber figures of the Road Warriors, I'd have had 14 fucking versions of them with different paint on their face and sold each one and sold this guy with red tights and this guy in his other color tights that he wears. I would have sold Flair with six robes, different ones.
They said their merchandise was a joke in the night. Like, that's one thing that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash talk about, is how fucking shitty the merchandise was and how big of a joke it was when they got there compared to WWF. They said it was laughable at, like, just how unorganized it was and how, you know, you've heard the story about the Giant getting a check sent to him from the video game and it was, like, more than his salary. Like, they didn't know what the fuck they were doing in that area. So can you imagine? That wasn't even on their radar back then if it was like that
wrestling
in the mid-90s. Yeah.
But do you see what I'm saying about if they would have gone that avenue? Could you imagine? I mean, I'm thinking my way. I'm thinking what I wanted.
They had wrestlers running a business, and they thought only wrestlers could understand the wrestling business. You needed a business guy to handle the business.
I think that's one of the smartest things you've ever said. Yeah.
It's the biggest thing I learned about soccer.
Vince McMahon in his heart was a promoter. You know what I mean? Not a wrestler.
He was a business guy. And during the soccer days, we had everybody step in to do, he's a soccer guy. He's a soccer guy. We'd hire. And we came down to it. Get away from these fucking soccer guys because they're soccer guys. They can't see outside the soccer bubble. So these wrestling guys can't see outside the wrestling bubble. They're looking at it from the boys' point of view. They're looking at it from this. They're looking from that. Not what's best for the overall company. Not what's best for 5 years from now, 10 years from now. They're looking at eating that night. They're looking at, what's now? What can we do now? What, yada, yada, yada.
They're still
yada,
thinking yada. Like the guy in the sedan moving to the next show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting point. Do you see what I'm saying that they could have, if they would have had a merchant, if they would have had a licensee?
Oh, 100%.
My God. Same thing with their videotapes. They would sell.
We didn't buy those action figures because they were WWF.
No, we just bought them because they were wrestlers.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the point.
As opposed to buying the fake ones that were half the size and bendable. I mean, I remember the AWA had wrestling figures, but by the time they had them out, it was way too late.
We didn't buy the posters because they were WWF. We didn't buy the wrestling buddies because they were WWF.
We didn't buy the wrestling buddies because they were so stupid.
We bought them because they were so soft and they were fun to lay with.
Did you actually own one?
I had one.
Which one?
I had Hogan.
Really?
Brother had Warrior.
My brother had Warrior.
What'd you have?
I would not have one of those things.
Wrestling buddies?
Yeah. I'm not owning a fucking doll.
Cyndi Lauper, didn't you?
Even at 9 years old, I was too fucking cool for school when it come to dolls.
Even at nine, I was too manly to sleep with another man.
Action figures are one thing, but dolls are another.
Isn't it funny they tried to go the celebrity route and they got Waylon Jennings? And George Jones.
Think right about now, the South, though.
Waylon Jennings is way bigger than Cyndi Lauper in a lot of people's eyes.
Waylon's been a fucking staple since like the 50s.
Which one was on MTV?
Which one was on TNT, Grand Old Opry?
The Nashville Network?
Yeah, or the Grand Old Opry or whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm. I mean, from the test of time, Waylon Jennings will go down as a way bigger figure than fucking Cyndi Lauper.
Guaranteed.
Without a doubt.
I don't think Vince was thinking who's going to be bigger in 20 years. I think he was thinking who's big now.
But see, that's the exact opposite of what you were saying, though. He was thinking for the future instead of thinking for the next show. Now, what you're saying here is who's the biggest right now I can get in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a weird combo of all of it, really. It's the perfect formula that he worked out, and I bet he wouldn't change a lot of it.
Vince wants to put on the biggest show each time, from time to time. If it's not Cyndi Lauper, it's Mike Tyson. It's, you know, having Floyd Mayweather. It's the hot button, the hot topic.
Fucking Bob Uecker.
I mean, fuck, how many times did he have
Vanna White?
Jerry Springer. How many times did he have Jerry Springer on? Because Jerry Springer was hot at that time.
At the time. He wasn't even hot by the time they had him on, was he?
Pamela Anderson as the ring girl. I mean, he always whored himself out.
Stay in the box here. You got to think this 80s period that they had to have. I mean, it's a war. I'm saying that they had to follow something.
That's what I'm saying, but Waylon Jennings might have been their best connection to do and might have been the easiest connection versus Vince, who has Hogan out doing movies and God knows what to make those connections.
Guest starring on Hunter.
Yeah.
And Big John Studd and all those guys.
Hunter was the shit, though.
I love that shit.
That guy was a football player for the Raiders, right?
Fred Dreyer.
Yeah, he was a kicker, I think. Hunter. Sorry.
The end.
Was he? I thought he was a punter. Who am I thinking of?
Bad motherfucker.
There's a famous punter that became an actor.
Ray Guy?
Said famous.
He's famous.
Not that famous. Was he in Hunter?
No. Got me there.
So what are we doing next week?
Oh, we're done?
No, I was just asking what we're doing next week. Like, what is the part of next week?
The war continues.
Where are we going to start off?
Jim Herd.
You heard?
Everybody loves that guy.
Flair's,
Jim Herd, it's the early 90s.
Flair's favorite.
Late in the 80s, early 90s, everybody's
Why favorite. Don't we make a tag team with Hunchbacks? They'd never lose.
Oh, my gosh. What about Ding Dongs?
Ooh, I love Ding Dongs. Are we talking about the chocolate ones or dongs?
The tag team, the Ding Dongs. That actually happened.
If anybody wants to throw around some ideas like I did last night, I was trying to figure out where they went wrong and who could have changed it.
Alice Cooper. Sorry, I thought of another celebrity.
Kiss.
Oh.
I'm thinking back in the olden days, though.
When did Was Herd the one? Is he the Emo's Pizza guy or the KDNL guy?
Pizza Hut
in St. KPLR. Louis, right?
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, that was about the as opposite a combo as you could have had. Pizza Hut and KPLR as opposed to Emo's and KDNL.
Hey.
It's close.
Pizza and TV, baby.
Yeah, buddy. If we ever do the movie version of it, then we'll change it up that way. Because you can't be exact.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No.
I feel you.
I guess we've done nothing here today.
I feel like we've got through some cool shit. I've enjoyed sitting here listening to the stories.
Yeah. I wish Magnum would have never got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of wishes.
What was the ceiling for him? Because I don't give a shit what Flair says.
Movie star.
Bottom
of the
roof.
Flair was going to hand it over to him. No fucking way.
That's the other thing.
No
always
fucking
think
way.
That's Flair's career could have been over. Well, he would have gone to WWF.
No, but Flair says.
To listen to Flair
was,
say it. You think that's just for marking out these days? To
Flair was saying he was going to pass the torch to him in like 86. I mean, like in the mid 80s. No fucking way. That motherfucker was wrestling in 2006, still wanting to hold a title.
It's true.
Fair enough.
So you think that guy 20 years before that, when he's out slaying five chicks a night, partying like a rock star, is going to hand over the belt to a younger version of him that's getting at? No. Ego does not allow you to do that, especially a guy like Ric Flair and the fucking ego he has. That dude still thinks he should be out popping fucking 20-year-old Playboy models.
And he can still do
and
it.
And he probably does. In some twisted fucking universe.
With drugs and money.
You guys should look up some Magnum TA shit. Dude had charisma.
The only Magnum
I
deal with on a daily basis is a Trojan Magnum. But I'm doing
it. It's a big dick
I mean, have you ever seen the Magnum after the wreck walking out with Dusty and Nikita? So there wasn't a fucking dry eye in the house. He's got a cane. That, you know, that arm wouldn't work anymore.
Right.
I can't remember which side. Right side or left
remember
side?
If I saw a video or magazines. It might have been the magazine you showed me. Do you have one after it happened?
With the beard on the cover?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one of him doing like a pool photo shoot laying out by the pool. I mean, like, and this is like the pop magazines back in the day. They used to have that for the, I mean, like, That's the other thing. The number of magazines. those magazines were focused for fucking females.
I just bought another 30 of them. Thank you. Like you said, females.
No, but like they had fucking posters like of the dudes on lawn chairs. Like, not wrestling.
We talked about the fucking music videos, like the Fabulous Ones music video that looks like a straight 80s gay porn.
Oh.
What about, those are my favorite gay
what
boards.
Was the other?
Riding
the,
horses and sitting in cars, their shirts off together.
It looked like
He-Man,
didn't it?
Oh. I've heard some shit about that.
That's the most homoerotic cartoon of all time, looking back on it. Whatever.
I imagine you could say some homoerotic things about pro wrestling if you wanted to.
No.
I imagine a lot of people do and have.
Well.
Every time they hear we do a podcast about one.
Nobody talks bad about us. We kill them.
That's right. We're bad.
Six-man tag.
We're like the Freebirds of the new generation. We're like Freebirds 2K.
We're like
plus
birds
16 or 17, whatever year it is.
2K17?
Yeah, Freebirds 2K17.
As long as I'm Michael Hayes, that's all that matters.
You're Terry Gordy if you're lucky. I got to be Ronnie Garvin because, you know, gorgeous.
I can talk about this for a couple more hours, but we won't. We're going to get out of here.
What?
I know. Hey, I've got 1,000 what-ifs and questions, but...
Let's do 500, okay? Let's not do 1,000. Start.
No, I have more options of what they could have done.
What else could they have done?
Well, no, he's already putting the fork in it. Let's not let him keep going here.
No, I just...
Let's continue on next episode. We can keep going.
Let's record a third today, is that what you're saying?
No.
That seems crazy to me as well.
Get an hour tomorrow if we want.
It's Thursday. Isn't the studio booked solid from like 3 a.m. to 3 p.m.?
I think what if they would have spread the belts around more? What if
they only had one star?
What if they hadn't kept using the dusty finish? What do you mean they had one star?
I'm just saying Flair held the belt for so long.
Not Flair. I mean, Wyndham and Luger were always the U.S. champion. The tag champions were Tully and Arn. Yeah, like,
they
fucking spread
made,
your belts around.
They could have made Sting way bigger.
Oh, and earlier.
That's what I'm saying.
If they hadn't been in a rush to get him out of the business.
Yeah.
Are you going to do it?
No, go ahead. You got this. You're way better.
Get out of this business. Tear up that contract.
Never gets old. I don't care. Never.
You're glad I showed you that, aren't you?
Yeah, it was great, man. That's one of my favorite things now. I've had to show that to a few other people.
God, that's 1990. Yeah. No, I just, I don't know. It pisses me off because that was a great wrestling time of life. That's the healthiest the business was. They still had the NWA. And
it was really an innocent time in wrestling, if you look at it.
For who?
Wrestling in general.
For who? Sorry.
Oh, well, that's true. There was debauchery. But they didn't know what was getting ready to happen. What we're going to talk about in the next episode.
The Four Horsemen going on TV and telling them that they're going to be at the Marriott that night.
Yeah.
In Baltimore. And if there's a woman out there
who will actually sleep with Arn.
What'd they say?
If she's 5'5", redheaded, she's for Tully.
What is it?
If she's
do it,
blonde,
do the promo.
5'9", she's for Arn. Oh,
if she's 6 foot double D,
that's for JJ. Oh man,
what'd Flair say? What was Flair's? What kind was his girl?
Anything that he wants.
If you're 5'10", 5'11", nature boy. That was a terrible Flair.
No,
I apologize.
You may not have the voice, but you had the mannerism.
Always do Arn. I'm not one to toot my own horn, but toot toot. Every time. That was his fucking calling.
God,
or that was
right.
His line. Call line.
Go toot yourself, Arn.
Let's get out of here. We'll run through the end of this when we get back, and I'll wish that it had never ended.
Maybe we will end up.
Maybe we won't.
Well.
Next week, we're going to talk about best guys on the... No. We're going to fucking keep going. We got WWF.
We started
got steroid,
it. We might as well finish it.
We got steroid trials. We got fucking...
Mega powers explode.
Oh, well, we kind of missed out on that. I mean, that was part of this.
People dropping from the rafters.
We'll get going there. We'll get going with the mega powers. Hogan and Savage, the two biggest fucking guys in the business at the time. We'll get there next week.
Both of them slept with McMahons. One a male, one a female.
Oh, boy.
Allegedly.
Who slept with the regular McMahon?
Vince. Hogan.
What? Bullshit. You take that back.
If you listen to Lanny Poffel.
You take that. Fuck the genius. Of course, he's not going to say his brother slept with him.
One of them is dead, and one of them is not talking. Fucking Lanny. All right. We're out of here. Numeral3horsemanshow.com. Numeral3horsemanshow after Facebook. Numeral3horsemanshow on Twitter. You all know this shit by now.
Yeah, like all 17 of you could probably write this down.
Yeah, fuckers.
So thank you for listening.
Give us a like. Give us a subscribe. We'll have Stump the Snob next week. We'll have a bunch of shit next week.
I'm excited, man. We're getting really, really to the part where I can remember watching it, so that's exciting for me. It's fun to hear about, but it's even more to participate with an active memory.
It's all a big tease. This is leading into next week.
Always next week. See you then, guys.
Three Horsemen, Big Easy, T.O., and Corey. We're out of here. Talk to you next week.
Out.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.